Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 72. Don't you violate your own laws? Luke 14:5. And Jesus answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" Many people read this and other similar passages of Christ's words on Sabbath and will go away with a message that he did not preach. How many times in conversations about Sabbath have you heard someone say, "I'd prefer not to work on the Sabbath, but if you got an ox in the ditch"? Many people think that Christ made provision to work on the Sabbath if there's an emergency. But upon closer investigation, one will find it will be a difficult thing to prove. Would Jesus have given instruction to outright violate the law of God? The law makes no provision for emergencies. Let's look at another scripture from which this concept is taken. Matthew 12:11. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" Notice he said that this is what they did. What man is there among you who does not lift out his sheep, pull out his ox, and so on? He's not saying that one can do this and remain inviolate of the law. He's just saying that these hypocrites are condemning him for doing what they do all the time. Their law allowed them to save an ox or rescue a sheep, but omitted kindness and rescue aimed toward mankind. God's law sets the value of man above all. This is why Jesus asked them, "Is not a man better than a sheep?" Really, God's law on Sabbath was much easier to understand and obey than the Pharisees taught. The Sabbath had become a line that over which if one stepped, branded them as a sinner. Then, by man's meddling, the Sabbath became more and more difficult to obey, making the club of religious folks more and more exclusive. But from the beginning, it was not so.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked. But even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked.
Oh, Ted, something else I'm really excited about. That is Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus audio package. This is the very same book that we offer on the radio broadcast, read by me in audio version. Each question is nicely indexed in 10-minute tracks, so you can enjoy the devotions on the questions of Jesus on your way to work in the morning or on your way home in the evening or on your lunch hour in CD or MP3 format.
This book was the result of a personal devotional study that Don embarked upon a few years ago. After sharing several of his insights with others, he was encouraged to publish what the Lord was teaching him. And the conclusion was a 475-page devotional which examines the revealing questions Jesus asked and the answers given. As you hear Jesus ask the probing questions to his adversaries, acquaintances, seekers, and intimate disciples, you'll be challenged to examine your own life in respect to Christ's inquiries. As you hear his questions and consider your own answers, you're thrust into his time and he into yours. By quiet contemplations, words on a page become a live conversation. If only you'll answer his questions honestly and with sincerity, you may well peer into the depths of your own soul and purpose, heretofore undiscovered and unknown. Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to Him, revealing His ways, His thoughts, and eventually, if He wills it so, His Father. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
So be sure to ask when you call or write for the book about Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus audio package as well.
It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Many feel that Jesus changed the Sabbath law and made it more livable by adding provisions for emergencies and so on. All that he really did was fulfill it by living his life and never breaking it, thereby providing us an example. Though he broke the law of the Pharisees many, many times, he never broke God's law. He didn't say, "I came to make the law easier to live under." He said that he came to fulfill it. He didn't change the Sabbath. He clarified it for us. He didn't change the ancient purpose or regulation. He said it as though it were already so. The Sabbath was made for man. It was a gift. Would God take back his gift? Where he did find fault was with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Also, their lack of understanding was a frustration to him. If they had wanted, the Pharisees could have discovered these things. They could have understood what the Sabbath, and indeed all the laws of God, were about, how to live by them, fulfill them, and please God. But they didn't. He taught that this information was made available to them by simple discernment. He gave examples. John 7:22-23, "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." They saw nothing wrong with circumcising a man-child on the Sabbath. Why did they not see that if the law is perfect, the law could not make demands that cause other laws to be broken? The paradox was this. A child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. If a child was born on the sixth day of the week, he must be circumcised on a Sabbath. Jesus uses the situation and teaches that if a Sabbath can be used to take a man apart, could it not be better used to put a man together? He says, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Some work was acceptable to their tradition, and some work was not. Thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Here he's asking, don't you violate your own laws? With some, it was acceptable to water and feed livestock, but other farm work was considered abominable. I was recently told of a Sabbatarian farmer that condemned the feeding of livestock on the Sabbath, yet he himself sat at his own table and fed himself every Sabbath. Jesus would ask, don't you violate your own laws? Although the hypocrite will be undoubtedly exposed here, it should mean more to us than just avoiding hypocrisy. We should be examples of serving God and not ourselves, of obeying God and not mindlessly following man's ideas. Many of the ideas of unregenerate man are stupid and illogical, and their motives can easily be realized by 15 minutes thought. Yet many times they're followed without question. There was no law about feeding or not feeding cattle on the Sabbath, watering or not watering, lifting or not lifting fallen livestock out of ditches. These were all man's additions to God's gift, transforming the lovely gift into a loathsome burden. We, as New Covenant Christians, should be led of the Spirit and not the ideas of man. As in the days of Christ, we accept certain sins in our company and among our religious groups, and other sins we shun entirely. For example, we shun those who smoke cigarettes in order to cope with life, and accept with open arms those who eat to do so. We, by example, teach that if the sinner can exchange his tobacco for chocolate and his alcohol for Valium, we'll let him come among us and call himself by our name. We still strain out gnats and swallow camels, and by the girth of some of those the modern church most highly respects, they look as though that's exactly what they've done. The Apostle Paul asked in Romans 2:21 and 23, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? That thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God?" If Jesus were here watching us with our noses pinched when a smoker enters our congregation, or see us shift in our seat when those we deem less than ourselves attempt to seat themselves close to us, he would be ashamed. Have ye not read? Do ye not understand? Who among us does not have the same problem, just handled in a different way? Who among us is blameless? When Jesus asked these questions, he was asking us to put ourselves into the shoes of the ones we condemn. The Pharisees had laws about the Sabbath that they should be ashamed of, because they were found by Christ to be in hypocritical violation of them. We have laws about certain antisocial behaviors, of which we too should be ashamed for the same reason. When we condemn others for violating laws of our own making, are we any different than the Pharisees were? When condemned by the laws of the Pharisees, Jesus asked, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Don't you violate your own laws?" he asked. This condemned them where they stood. We stand in violation as well when we condemn drinking alcohol with our medicine chest full of mood-altering drugs. We too are guilty when we exchange our cigarettes for potato chips and think that we are clean and smokers are dirty. We too are hypocritical when we exclude those who break the laws we make and never consider how we ourselves may be doing the same thing every day in other ways. Hear again the searching question of Christ: don't you violate your own laws?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and His Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to His Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to Him, revealing His ways, His thoughts, and eventually, if He wills it so, His Father. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.